From BLC Studios in Mankato, Minnesota, this is the Maverick Hockey Live Podcast, presented by Duncan, with your host, Shane Frederick.
This is the Maverick Hockey Live Podcast, presented by Duncan. This is a special broadcast in the off season. I'm Shane Frederick, the host, and joining me today, it's my pleasure to have on the new coach of the Minnesota State men's hockey team, Mr. Luke Strand. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. It's good though. I'm so excited about the opportunity, but man, I don't know where the days and the times are going right now.
I mean, we are recording this at a little before 5 o'clock on Tuesday, April 11th. So about 25 hours, I think, after you were formally introduced. I know the announcement came out yesterday morning early, but your formal introduction and press conference was yesterday around this time. So a little bit of a whirlwind few days for you. How you feeling?
It's good. I think I got all 6 hours of sleep that I needed. And but I'll tell you, it's totally worth it. I think this was part of the plan, and now it's time to make sure we're on the same page and moving forward.
So what have you been doing the last couple of days other than some of the pomp and circumstance? I know there was the press conference and that, and then there was a little event with some of the friends of Maverick Hockey last night. You went probably right to work, I'm assuming, as soon as you signed your contract.
Yeah. I mean, you got to cross some T's and dot some I's as far as HR and some things of that nature, but after that, it's been digging into the players that are here, individual meetings, group setting with a group meeting. And then this morning started out early with the full staff. Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page, the direction, the vision, and really hear their side of everything too. And really, it's hard to say, like, you know, what you like, what you love, what you want type thing. But it really is a little bit of that. Like, if there's a time that we could take a paintbrush out and put some things on that we want to do. I'm really interested in what they feel has been really successful. Maybe some things they'd tweak or change, and vice versa, like share some of my thoughts. And that part has been pretty powerful, just to sit down with the entire staff.
This, for you know, you come into a situation where the program's had a lot of success. And the coach has moved on, where other situations, there are situations where a team has not been successful and a coach gets let go. And then someone's asked to come in and rebuild. You mentioned this a little bit in your remarks yesterday about, you know, the scope, the national scope that this program is on, to come in here with things, you know, in a good place, but also to put your stamp on it right away. What is that like for you? You know, I mean, not that you can compare it to the other side of it, but you are coming into a different situation than other coaches might be going into a program where there's a coaching change.
Yeah, I think the coaching change is one part. The opportunity now in today's world with the portal, guys signing early. You know, it 2 weeks ago, you could have taken this job with a completely looking different roster.
Right.
But that's okay. That's part of the drill. It's part of the experience about what it means. And that's not going away. And it's definitely not going to get any easier on that side. But I think, you know, number one is our guys just talking culture, talking exactly what we want to expect from one another. I think that's a piece of it. And the actual, like, boots on the ground, let's get to work. Hockey's a long ways away. So right. That's the weird part about taking a job in this scenario. We're not talking about hockey yet. That part hasn't even come. We're into people, and we're into what holes in the roster can we fill internally as a staff, what the expectation is for the guys that are returning, because there's a lot of guys that maybe didn't get opportunities to play in those roles that are available right now. And I to sit down with them one-on-one was nice, because it was good to get where they felt, what they've been doing, and how they really, really feel they can get there.
And you've had, we can get into the player aspect right now. I mean, you have some familiarity with a couple of players who you coached at Sioux City a few years ago, and Alex Tracy and Brendan Olson. And I'm sure, just being in general very familiar with what Minnesota State was doing at that time, as I'm sure other players were either being recruited or considered. you know, what do you kind of, does that help with that little bit of familiarity, or are you just kind of trying to keep everything a clean slate?
No, it does. I mean, there's a lot of the guys you've either, listen, NCAA tournament, I watched them play St. Cloud. I watched the game. We played the next day, so I had the day before to right. bear into that. I think the formula you start to really do a deeper dive once you're here to see, okay, this has kind of been a formula that they've had, a little bit older, a little bit bigger, a lot of experience, tried to really be junior, senior heavy in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kids that turn into juniors and seniors that were going to be counted on, and this is really their time to step up, which is exciting in their eyes. And as a coach, you want to make sure that I can provide them as much clarity about what's going to happen next.
And you know, you had, I think 10 players at the press conference yesterday. And I think people were, pleased to see them, pleased to see Sam Morton as one of them. Especially at such a good start to the season last year before, getting injured. I know you mentioned there were a few other players who weren't able to be there for various reasons. And then, you know, obviously between, some pretty good seniors who graduated, some players who signed early, some, you know, All-American defenseman in Jake Livingston. Stone and you know, and he and Akito Hirose both, you know, getting NHL experience already, and then a few key guys that I'm sure a lot of MSU fans and probably a new MSU coach were a little disappointed or entered the transfer portal, which you mentioned kind of the realities of the situation. But you know, given that, what do you, given all that, what I've mentioned, what else do you see out of this you know, particular, you know, group that's here right now?
I think the group that's here right now has learned a lot from the experiences. They've been put in situations that are winning, that are exciting about those moments. You start to lose the Hirose in the Livingston. You start to lose good players. You also got to see what made them good. I really have a strong feeling for the guys that are here. Like, how was Pavel so good? Like, what turned the corner for him as a player? These guys got to be next to these guys day to day. I want those experiences to show up for the next group of players and the next group of players. But they've got to be able to take advantage of what's in front of them. You know, we're not going to wait and see who else, you know, comes about. It's about digging in. And Tommy in the gym, they've done a good job. They're back on track with that part. You know, there's a little bit of a foot race to the end of the school year for the calendar on that side. And then guys will get a break, and then we'll come back and you know, they're going to come back. A lot of them want to come back in June and July and really get after it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and that feels like a real cultural thing about this program that's been put in place. And I, you know, regardless of what the roster looks like, there are a lot of things, whether it's the facility, whether it's the support, which you talked a lot about yesterday, both just in general fan support, and but also some pretty good booster support. And then just the general, you know, success over the, you know, last decade plus, it feels like you got to be pretty comfortable with some of those pieces as you do the other things to build up your first team.
I'll tell you, like, the guys are excited to come back in the summer because of the community.
Yeah.
I mean, there's opportunity to train and take class and do things that are advancing them as players and as people in the academic side, but they're excited to be around the community, which that just speaks volume for what's here. And I think their vision for what they see themselves as and the success that they've tasted, they want to be the next ones leading that. And that's exciting for a coach to walk into, to see some determined young guys that are, like I said yesterday, they're committed. They didn't leave. They are fulfilling. They want to be a family. I thought Mort's hit it on the head when he said, this is our family, this right here. They've won the state here. We're together.
Yeah.
As a coach to walk in and hear that, that's impressive.
So one of the things you mentioned yesterday in your press conference was kind of everything that you've been doing has kind of led up to this point or to be a head coach. And you had been a head coach in college before. Your resume is pretty varied. You know, head coach and director of hockey for a successful junior team in Sioux City for 5 years, a year at Wisconsin on the staff there. And then you, after your Sioux City stint, you go to Ohio State for a year as an assistant coach. Did you think, you'd land a head coaching job in college this quickly, or what was kind of your plan going in, especially, you know, maybe just more recent history going from the USHL to Ohio State?
Yeah, I'll tell you to, I'll give Kevin a ton of credit here. And luckily for Hasty, had a lot of maybe the same path along the way in some regard as my resume as well. But a lot of schools out there personally are looking internally to hire another college coach, basically. They find that to be whatever. The hats that you wear in the USHL are immense. Like, I mean, you're talking selling, you're talking following through, you're talking coaching, mentoring, billets, every piece of the puzzle goes through your hands. It also prepares you to do that at anything. You know, you could go run a business doing the same thing.
Sure.
But more importantly, I think the stop at Ohio State, the promise was made, like they would do anything to help me. They knew I wanted to be a head coach. I'll give Steve Rolick, a Minnesota guy, a ton of credit. He allowed me to coach. He let me run the penalty kill and stayed out of the area. I think it worked. We were number one in the nation and led the nation in shorthanded goals. And he let me run the D, and pretty soon you got two NHL signing D. And there was just a lot of good. And I'm very grateful for Steve. Jamie Bittner was a great friend of mine, is a great friend of mine. Well, maybe not after this move, but we're very tight. And we worked really well together as assistants there. And that was a big draw for me to go somewhere where comfortable. But also they had done some winning things there that were very attractive for me to want to go a little bit under the hood about what that meant. I thought, what a better opportunity. And I think to win a championship in the USHL is one thing. But mainly when you win, it's a residual. Like yesterday, my owner's there from Sioux City. Our CEO is there from Sioux City. I've been a year removed,
right,
and there they show up. Those are the things I think you get out of those experiences, and pretty soon you're behind the, you know, bench for 600-plus games as a head coach, and you're like, I've done a lot of things on that side, but the college game is very intriguing. I think the opportunity to shape these guys' lives, you know, a couple guys today talking about girlfriends and, like, being in, you know, they want to get engaged and what they've got some forecasts besides hockey, and those are important things to hear and feel, because the game is one thing. I think the game of life is probably a bigger piece of it.
Yeah, and you're talking about a big difference in age of guys too when you're working with those junior level players, and so much transformation takes place at those ages compared to, you know, if you're talking about some older players on this year's team.
Yeah, it's neat, and I think at the college level, when you're in junior hockey, I think there's a little bit of like, hey, by the way, the stove's red. That means don't touch it. And they're still for sure going to touch it because they're that age. And then Now you're at this college level, and you still find the stove is red, and a couple guys still want to touch it. That's fine. But a lot of the guys find, I think, value in the inexperience of experience of someone else has already maybe done something or failed forward, and they've learned from each other. And that's in the maturity of our group right here. They've learned a lot from the guys that came before them, and we're gonna honor that, but we're gonna write our own story.
So you've also, you know, we mentioned, you know, those two experiences. 1 year at Wisconsin under Mike Eaves. Did you play for Mike at Eau Claire when you were at UW Eau Claire?
I didn't. I've just known Eaver for a long time. He sent me a very sweet text today, and I appreciate that, Coach, a ton. My time with Eaver was excellent. It was unfortunate that it was at the time. You know, it was kind of a let's try to save the job type thing. I'm just a fan. When I was a fan of that opportunity too, I'm a fan of Mike. And then, you know, pretty soon the new regime comes in, and you watch guys that leave school that are Hobey Baker finalists and doing things at different schools, but they didn't stay there. So I got to learn from that, because pretty soon you get to a spot like this and you think you want to bring in all your own guys, where you're like, ooh, these guys are here for a reason. So let's just be patient about what this group can do.
You know, when you were, I maybe try to rephrase a question from before, but I, you know, kind of going into the impression of Minnesota State from an outsider, even at a time when you weren't necessarily expecting that maybe this job would be open and that you'd be the future Mavericks head coach. But as a, you know, as a coach in junior hockey, and prior to that, being at Wisconsin or even last year at Ohio State, what was your impression overall of what was happening in Mankato? And you could probably even take that back to, you know, several years prior, as that program kind of slowly evolved in the Division I era, yep. You know, up until this point.
I think when you're in junior hockey, you're watching kids that are being recruited by Minnesota State. You had a pretty good picture of like what person, what type of player, when they were arriving. You could almost go to a game and go like, he's going to Minnesota State. He's going to Minnesota because of they almost had a mold okay. In a lot of ways. In a good way, like that gave them identity for what they wanted and how they were doing things. I think you could see that from afar. You also followed the success that followed that, maybe that map that they had going. On the other side, when I worked for the Flames as a NHL scout, I did a lot of college things, and like Mackie was here. So mm-hmm. I'm out of Calgary, but a year later, Mac is signing with Calgary. There was just a lot of time spent watching that whole process show up. So I think the league, the CCHA personally, has gotten a lot better. I think I don't think it's a one way. I got a fun text from one of the coaches like, the reason Hasey left is there's a 3-year ban of Minnesota State winning the league. That's why he decided to take a difference. Because that's how they feel. And you know sure. what? I think, one, we've set the bar. Two, the standard has risen internally inside the university about what they want to be and show. But the league is really working hard at keeping up with the Joneses, per se. And the league is good. It's deep, and it's very competitive.
And despite some roster turnover and a new head coach, you're still going to have a pretty big target on your back as a
yep.
as a six-time McNaughton Cup defending champion.
And I think that's great. And I think our guys know that are returning. And I think that lesson that they get to share with the new guys will be invaluable on their experiences.
You have a pretty good rapport and know the other coaches in the league pretty well.
I do, because over time, I think you get, especially the junior circle, you get in the idea of they're constantly asking you about players, or they're at your camps, or they're following up with guys that you had before. Maybe now they're in the portal or whatever it may be. So, yeah, we've known each other for a time, and there's gonna be some adjusting. Like you get to go through a Big Ten schedule. That's one thing. You know, you go through a little bit of a murderer's row when you start to play three series in a row that are all the CCHA presents the same thing. You start mm-hmm. to go on the road and you got a hot goalie in Tech, and then the next weekend you got a better team playing in Northern, and then it's like, whoa, you're back and forth. And I think the whole college scene, for me, I think the parity has just made everybody better for it.
Yeah, it was. I know there was a lot of talk this year, and you were part of it with Ohio State with some of those first round lopsided scores in the NCAA tournament. But I felt like that was an outlier. If you start, I actually went back and I was gonna just put some social media out there, and I didn't. But so many of the games last year in the first round went to overtime or were one goal games, and I think the same the previous couple of years. So. I thought that was a little bit of an outlier, and I'm sure the Big Ten was loving it until, you know, any of them had to face Quinnipiac, apparently, three including your squad.
Yeah, three of us in a row. I mean, good for Quinnipiac that they went through that. But I do feel like, you know, the East got a lot of respect for a long time because of maybe the repetitiveness of some schools showing up all the time, and now then the West kind of goes through it, but then pretty soon you find some teams that are, you know, the one-offs are becoming more often by a lot of teams, not just, you know, one group of teams winning all the time. It's really good for the game, though.
Do you take a lot of, you know, do you give yourself a lot of input looking at how those teams have had success and try to shape the way you want to build your team here? Or do you kind of use your own philosophy, or is it a little bit of everything, or is it still kind of a work in progress?
No, I'm definitely not afraid to look to see who's had success and why. You know, Quinnipiac is they're share portal kids, and yep. they have they're not all NHL based team. They're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit wiser. Now, are they maybe made for a one class and one time to be very strong and then a dip? Possibly. I think if you get too old, you if you don't spread that out. And then, you know, nowadays the NHL is signing players earlier and earlier. It's everything's being forced by the top. And so the second that a junior signing is as a free agent is very common, you know, but now the sophomores are signing as free agents too. Yeah. And so I think that cycle ends up happening. And, but you start to see the roster construction of teams and who's having success. And sometimes it's timing. Maybe the other part of the league is down and your biggest foe is on the way down and you're on your way up.
You grew up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, just down the road from me in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. So we got that in common besides our haircuts. and then you played at UW Eau Claire and you later coached there. And I think if you kind of go through, it's interesting because you're not alone in that, Division III player who coached some Division III. I mean, you see some success like that throughout, but you know, can you just go back to those early days, or whether you as a player or you as an early coach or those first years, and you coached some pro hockey too, in the AHL, did you always have this goal of being a head hockey coach at some level someday, or what, how did that develop?
Yeah, I was extremely blessed. Tim Coughlin of St. Norbert College had never had an outsider coach outside. He had a good little program going. All of his staff had already played for him. There was a year there where I'd retired from playing, and I'm like, knocked on his door, asked him if I could work hockey camp. And he'd instantly called a few people. He's like, yeah, I actually need someone. And pretty soon that turned into running the rink and Zamboni and working for him. And then that turned into a full-time job at St. Norbert, which I owe a ton to Cox. He really sprung board a lot of things in my life. USHL path, and then going back to Eau Claire, I think was okay. I'm ready to be a head coach. Was I probably in some regard? Was I ready to deal with the rest of it? No, I didn't really. I wanted to be on the ice. I didn't want to deal with the rest of
it. How old were you then?
Oh boy, 27, 9, okay. Somewhere in that range.
Sure.
Yep. So that part, it was good. I mean, to do the other part of that was assistant athletic director, and you were just. It didn't feel like you were coaching hockey. You felt like you were doing everything else but the game. And then to go to the American Hockey League from Division III, which was an unreal experience for me. And I got to work with two great guys, and Kevin Constantine and Troy Ward, and learn a lot and see a lot. And it's funny because even taking this job, some people are like, oh, he's of Kevin's tree, or if he's – there is no such thing. I think we all learn from each other. And you take what you want to take, and you learn how you want to apply it type thing. So, but all that did was make me more hungry to go back and be head coach. That's when I went to Sioux City the first time in the USHL. Yep. So those are just times. And then in Sioux City, I got fired. We got a new owner, and the new owner wanted new people, and that wasn't me. So then I went back to American Hockey League. It was kind of it wasn't about the coaching part. It was actually, before you know it, you're hired back by Sioux City and you're like, are you sure? And you're like, you guys were kind of the same group that got rid of me before, and they're like, we're positive. And I said, okay. So it's been a wonderful journey. It's brought me in front of a lot of people. I think the influence of levels, I really actually think it helps because you see what it took for a player to survive, thrive, advance. You also got to see the guys that didn't, and you're kind of starting to pinpoint why they didn't. And,
sure.
But, you know, early I would say that I wanted to just coach in the NHL. That's all I wanted to do. And then you start to realize that NHL really stands for no home life. And then you're like, okay, there's a – and then college has really, really changed the profile of what it is and the amount of players advancing and still have an opportunity for professional careers. And that's just made college hockey just such a treat to want a goal and want to strive to be.
And, you know, you mentioned a couple of names there, but, and we mentioned Mike Eaves earlier and Steve Rolick, but it is always interesting when you start kind of digging into a coach's resume about the people who've had influence on their careers. And, you know, those are names in hockey circles people know pretty well. And as many a coach has said to me over the years, you know, it college hockey or hockey in general is a pretty, it's a pretty small circle of people, and a lot of people know each other, and a lot of paths get crossed there. But you've obviously had some people, and then you mentioned obviously Cogs too, that, you know, just really influential coaches who probably have influenced a lot of people.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's funny because some people are like, oh, he's a Division III coach. I'm like, oh, let me tell you, he could coach any team. He could coach the Penguins, like, because of the person. So I just think you take what you can, you blend it with what you believe in. I love to read, so that's kind of steered me in some paths and some deep times of my life. You're like, all right, what was that really real? And then you can start to tinker around with it yourself, and pretty soon you're like, yep, that was real, what they're talking about.
And you mentioned the no home life thing. Home life is certainly important, but I know you got your fiance and your son and your fiance's kid, and you all be everybody will be landing in Mankato at some point.
Yeah, or? I mean, the kids are, my gal's kid, Ella's going off to Lincoln. She's a Cornhusker at life. My son's away playing junior hockey.
Oh,
so
very nice.
I think he's going to keep that path about what he wants to be. And at no time will I ever coach my son. We are too good of friends. I love him too much, and we get along way too well, probably, for that. Although the dynamic has changed. He's asked me a lot more hockey questions as time has come on. A mechanic could have told him way more about hockey for a while in my life, but that's okay. But you know what? In really blessed. I think Sadie brought a lot to my life. I thought it really slowed things down. It gave me a different perspective. Like, I bet you there was a time when you asked people that I probably worked 18 hours a day to 19, and it didn't stop until the season was over. And then it was like, drop dead. And I'd come out of my coma, and people were like, oh, you do exist outside of the rink type thing. I just find there's a way better balance about what that is. And not to say you're not working hard, not to say, but I think it also gives you a chance to learn more, grow more, network more, just bring more people into your life.
What's, you know, okay, so you've been officially coach here for less than 48 hours, but what are the next steps for you? What do you got going? You know, whether it's the rest of this week or the weeks ahead, as you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, players are here for a few more weeks, and they'll take off for a bit and then come back. But for you in this whole process, what's your to-do list?
Yeah, I mean, the deep dive into our own staff was a big part. The deep dive into our own players was a big piece. It's a lot of fun because now it's a lot of trying to re-recruit some guys who were, you know, we spoke off the air about, like, you commit to a school, you commit to a coach. Sometimes you're, like, really committing to a coach, one that you're committing to school. So you're trying to figure out that new vision, and that's a process. And then, you know, we're waiting on a window here that's not necessarily closed, but it's closing. The number of players that are getting in the portal is getting less and less. So that's a different opportunity. So that's going to be one. We have our college coaches convention coming up. There's league meetings. Some of that's going to happen in a week from now. In the middle of it, I was renting a place in Columbus. I was building a home in Columbus. I was trying to sell our home in Sioux City. Yeah, I'm terrible in real estate, so get away from me in real estate if you ever want to buy or sell homes. So I've got a couple things to knock off, and one of them is going to be get back to Columbus, gather my things, try to get my realtor there to sell that house with me being absent, which would be great, and then just really focus on this. There's a lot of leagues are shutting down. They're closing off. Their seasons are coming to an end. So you're trying to get a last glimpse, and as a new position, trying to get in front of a few guys right away.
Sure, and you know, some of those guys who are already committed here, and then a few others, and looking at the portal and everything else. It's just
there's a little bit of a puzzle, and it really is, especially when you start to talk scholarships and money and who's coming and on what and how much is available, and you know, if they don't come, then who's next, and if they do come, and then can we get this guy too? There's some shuffling going on. I would say hats off to Paulie Kirkland. Like, he's done an amazing job. One, I think keeping the guys connected, which is a big, big responsibility. I think just holding the rope with other guys that are out there. And then I think just being ready to hit the ground. It was exciting to get here and see guys and the whites of their eyes and their excitement about okay, well, let's get back to work here with a new vision about what's going on.
You mentioned Paulie and the work that he did kind of hold down the fort, but you're going to have to build a staff, and I don't know how much time that takes, but I guess the sooner you have a staff in place, some of that load's going to be alleviated off your shoulders a bit, or at least you can have more people doing it all together.
Yeah, there is. I'm going to do it right. I don't think I'm in a huge rush right now. I think we've got a lot of players identified in why they would fit. So I don't know if there's a lot more identification. There's probably, if there's anything, I'd like to get people in place for when the guys are back around here this summer. There's kind of a slow burn of organically putting our team together without, you can't coach them in the summer. So just by having them being around and having them see coaches around, I just think that organically kind of starts to take a trend for what you've got to get done.
Sure. Well, Luke, congratulations again. You got a busy schedule coming up, so I won't keep you much longer here, but congratulations. Welcome to Mankato. Welcome to Minnesota State. I think it's going to be fun to watch you build up your first team.
Yeah, it's exciting. And thank you for the people in the community. And the welcoming was tremendous. And more importantly, I think really exciting for what's to come.
Well, everybody, that's Luke Strand, the new Minnesota State men's hockey coach. I'm Shane Frederick. This has been a special edition of the Maverick Hockey Live podcast presented by Duncan. We'll talk to you next time.